Hello, this is Chris, and this is the Global City Mission Podcast. Today, I am joined by Joey, our mobilization catalyst in Atlanta, Georgia. And on today's podcast, we are going to be talking about a year in ministry as a mobilization catalyst with Global City Mission Initiative. So, Joey, great to be with you again this week, but it's been a year, man. I know.
Oh, my man. It's been a year. It's crazy. It's kind of hard to believe, but yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun.
So. Yeah. So we don't have a particular, like, let's walk down these six questions kind of thing, but yeah, a year of ministry, a year of ministry in this role. Like, you've been right in ministry for, you know, 20 years ish.
Yeah. I've been in ministry for 20 years serving predominantly in local churches, and for the last year serving in a more in this sort of missional role, mobilization role for mission agency. It's been fun. It's been interesting to still find a way to explain to people what I do. because most people, when I even say the word mobilization, they're like, okay, so what is that? It's been fun. It's been really eye-opening. I was telling Jared, I think it was the other day, but I was telling somebody else, like, I feel like this fall, so it's been a year, I finally think I feel like, I don't want to say I know what I'm doing, but I feel a bit more sense of like, okay, I've got a sense of like, this is what I do now, definitely more than a year ago. That's for sure. But usually after a year, like I should get something for that. I think we should start offering that GCMA, like membership to a golf club or something.
Membership to a golf club. Yeah.
There was a church There was a church I served at when I was in still in school. And after your first year, you either got a bonus, like a one-time bonus check, or you got a year's membership to the local golf club.
Yeah. See, the best I ever got was, you know, like a $10 gift card to Panera was, yeah, you know, thanks yeah for, thanks for another year and
not leaving us.
And not leaving us. And, you know, I mean, I was very happy to get a $10 gift card to Panera. Well,
the funny thing is like, golf is okay. I get about 9 holes in and I'm like, I'm done. I just want to go home.
That's why Topgolf was invented, man. Like,
I know. You take me to Topgolf. Next time you're in town, we'll go to Topgolf.
We may have to talk real soon, but we're getting off topic. So we're talking about a year of ministry. Yeah, we'll definitely do something here to celebrate a year in ministry, but a year in ministry and a year in a different role and a year. I mean, gosh, I mean, we didn't have this role. So not only are you trying to figure out what does it mean for you, Joey, to be in this role coming out of, you know, located traditional church ministry and into this missions organization, but you're taking on a role that we've imagined on and off for a few years, but never had anybody sitting in. So you literally are trying to figure out what does it mean to have this job.
And I know. Well, and over the last year, we've added another mobilizer and now a third. And so there, it's funny thinking like I'm the old guy on the team. We're doing mobilization. And I'm like, they're asking me, well, what do we do here? What do we do? I'm like, I don't know.
Yep.
But it has been fun. It's been interesting to see and work with churches from a unique perspective. It's been humbling because, you know, I've had to learn patience. And the funny thing is I've been on the other side, so I kind of understand, like, I know what it's like to get emails from people you don't know and, you know, or people want to have lunch with you because, you know, they're trying to sell you something or I've been on that side of it. So I kind of understand, but at the same time, it's been humbling because you walk in, especially when you've been doing it in church ministry for 20 years, you walk in and you go, man, I know how to talk to you, but it's been And still, it's been humbling, and enlightening.
Well, what's been your favorite kind of experience whether it was an event, an opportunity to speak, like what's been like to flip that switch and be in this role versus your previous roles? Like what's the piece that like, yep, that's it. That's why I do this. That's why I'm a part of this.
Yeah. I have enjoyed getting to visit different churches and speak and challenge people, because I feel like that's my wheelhouse. Like that's what I've been doing for 20 years. So I feel like leaning into that, that's where I feel most at home. Mm-hmm. So just getting to go into these churches, just different ones that I've gotten to go in and it's not even just, I mean, and do the trainings, and we've done trainings, but I've also just been asked to come and preach on a Sunday, and just to be able to sort of like open people's eyes to, just to see something beyond maybe the four walls of their building has really been exciting. And to have that, those people say, wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. I didn't, you know, especially because I had that same experience. I had that same experience of learning. We talked about this a year ago, learning the diversity and the international presence and the missions need of my community,
right,
of my city, and to share that with other people, and then have those people go, I didn't know that, I didn't realize that, I didn't. So that's been really, it kind of like I get jazzed, I get excited to be able to go and have those conversations and preach that vision to people. And share with them that sort of the heart of the Father, right? That the heart, yeah, of God for all nations, all people, and that all those nations are actually they're not necessarily in other countries necessarily, they're at their doorsteps.
Yeah.
It's been really, really exciting and motivating. And been my favorite part so far, for sure. I look forward to that.
I know when you and I were first, when I first joined the team and you and I were talking about what Global City does, like we weren't public yet with this idea of Mobilizer and that idea of mobilization, like as soon as that went public, like all of a sudden you and I were having a lot of conversations, yeah. You know, like, man, if I could be in that role. And so like, that is kind of exciting to see you out there at those churches. Like literally this was the thing kind of fired you up.
That's the thing I love in the most, because I love the body of Christ. I do, even though I don't serve it necessarily week in and week out as much anymore. I do love the body of Christ. I love the local church. I believe that it, you know, it's the thing, right? I mean, I believe in its power and its ability, and I want to see it be the very best it can be for the King of Kings. And so, yeah, that's my sweet spot. That's my comfort. That's where I feel like I'm at my best, you know, where I'm still figuring out, where I'm still feeling like I don't have it 100% is sort of those college visits, which I'm actually really glad I have more of them this fall.
Yeah.
Because I get to practice. To hone that a little bit better. And so the Lord was very gracious in that last fall, and really in through the new year, he gave me a lot of preaching opportunities, gave me a lot of speaking opportunities, a lot of evangelism training opportunities. And so that kind of helped get me started and get sort of, I feel like I didn't make a huge mistake. And so this fall I'm excited because, I've gotten more of those campus college visits scheduled and some of those. So this fall, it's the opportunity for me to sort of lean into that other side of mobilization and get better at it. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. And that opportunity, it's going to be fun too. It's just the area that I've got to sort of work on, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Fun in a different way.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I love the energy on campus visits, you know, sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like I feel like I could walk into a church and feel at home and, mm-hmm. you know, give me 5 minutes to present or have me jump up on stage and preach. Like, yeah, I've done that. I can do that. That's great. And, but the college ministry, like that's 20 years ago, like that.
Yeah. And, that was a while back.
I definitely feel old when I hang out on college campuses, but I love the energy. I love the passion. Yeah,
absolutely.
I love having those conversations with college students. I'm glad you're getting to do some more of that this fall.
Yeah.
So tell me, you know, like a new job is learning a lot of new things, whether it's, you know, you know, like we were joking a couple weeks ago about, you know, learning how to share your office that's now at home with your family when they're home for the summer. It's learning those kinds of things, but it's also like you get a new perspective. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we're all part of the same kingdom, but like a missions agency, someone like Global City is coming at, you know, the kingdom from a different perspective than the local church. And mm-hmm. so what has stretched you? What has challenged you? How have you gotten a more holistic view of the kingdom, kind of jumping that line and joining a missions team?
Well, I mean, there some of the biggest stretching, and this is, I don't know if this is embarrassing to say, but you know, this past summer, we talked a few weeks ago, I had a couple of conferences that I was at, but two of them particularly were new for me. And they were really on our desire to sort of diversity. And so both of them put me in rooms with people sort of theologically, probably wouldn't have necessarily walked with, because again, a lot of my last few years have been, last year has been with a lot of people that I know, a lot of ministries that I'm already familiar with. And so to sort of be in the room with people who are coming at ministry and life and theology and God from different perspectives was very refreshing and also very challenging, because they were pushing me to see, oh, okay, to look at ministry, people, in a different light. And that was really challenging, and that was really good, because I want to be challenged. Like I want to be the best for Jesus I possibly can be. So if there's a part of me that is not, that needs adjusting, you know, then I want to do that. So it was great to sort of sit in those rooms and be at those conferences and meet these people, because I think they sort of helped me, push me in places that I'm like, okay, you know, I need to maybe rethink something, or I need to be more open to something, or whatever. And I think in doing that, God also has helped develop a more compassionate heart for different people. Because again, I'm used to walking in this, you know, the reality is when you're in the pastor and you're in the church, 98% of your time, whether you like it or not, unless you're intentional, you're around church people.
Yeah.
And so you're always around church people. Your life is completely absorbed by this entity so much. And so when you don't have that, when you don't have the church you're going to necessarily every week, or you have to serve at, you don't have a Sunday you have to get ready for, that becomes unnerving, because that's what for 20 years my whole life was revolved around. That was my center. And so to be able to sort of step out and then have to sort of, and then be around people who are different than me, that was very stretching, very, very fun, and very unnerving for a little while. But it's been probably one of the most rewarding parts of all of this, because now I feel like I have a holistic or better just perspective on ministry, and realizing that ministry doesn't require you to necessarily be at a church or to necessarily look a certain way, and just be open to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I can agree. Like, I think the missions world kind of forces you to run in some broader circles that, mm-hmm. you know, we tend to start looking like the people around us, mm-hmm. and it doesn't cause us to stretch and grow the way, as soon as you start to broaden your horizons.
Well, and the nature of missions, even though I'm in mobilization, which is more of a recruiting or sort of working with churches, I still try and practice like our catalyst would, like our missions catalyst. So I'm still practicing gospel sharing. I'm still trying to engage my community from that. So I don't want to just be someone who talks about mobilizing. I actually want to be mobilized myself. So I try and engage people, and I try to have gospel conversations and everywhere I can possibly can. And I'm open to starting groups and doing all that stuff myself. So the nature of missions, because I'm trying to do that, the nature of missions also has pushed me to engage more outside of church people and more into the real world sort right. of. And that's also been encouraging.
Yeah. A little bit of both, right? Like right, stretching your church bubble, but also stretching your actual like impact in the community. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Because I want to put my money where my mouth is. I want to be able to do it. But also at the same time, like I want to see the kingdom expand. I want to see lost people meet Jesus. I want to see disciples made. So, that includes me too. And one of the things I'm practicing more of this fall that I'm trying to be more intentional about is taking people with me and letting them experience some of that firsthand. Trying to do that. Taking some of these pastors, taking some of these elders of these churches, like, hey, come with me, let's have lunch here. And then, and genuinely trying to have gospel conversations, but also trying to model for them what it might look like for us to live this way.
Right. So over this last year, as you've jumped on the team, we also rolled out a new training opportunity, which we're calling our Disciple Makers cohort. And I know you were in on one of the early ones of those. Mm-hmm. How has that shaped, shaped your role? Because that's something that in church mobilization, that's one of the things that we are regularly talking about. But also, how has that shaped you as a disciple maker in your city?
Yeah, I mean, first off, one of the things that I think the cohort helps you understand is that this is just a natural rhythm of life that you live in. It's not, which is very, it's kind of hard to explain in the sense, but it's, you don't feel like mission work is now this added thing I have to do. It's like when you see yourself sort of seeding in conversations and opening your eyes to those potential persons of peace and then willingness to sit down where they are, you find it's far more natural than you think it is. It's not as strange, and it becomes sort of a natural part of the rhythm of your life, where it doesn't feel awkward anymore to have spiritual conversations because you have them all the time. You're regularly participating. So the cohort for me was just one of those things. It helped me realize that this is not something weird and strange that I have to force myself to do, though at first you do kind of have to be intentional. Absolutely. Right. But it becomes a natural sort of rhythm. And I'm, I still have times where I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I want to make a spiritual statement, but I've also find more and more that there's these moments where I don't really think about it. I just sort of say them and we sort of have them. So the cohort, I loved about its ability to sort of help us understand that we can embody these principles, this sort of Great Commission, and really do it as a part of our daily life. And even after we get off recording, I've got to run somewhere and do something, that's an opportunity for me to have gospel conversations and to engage in casting the seed. It's not, that's not intent, that's like, I'm I have to run an errand. All it is an errand, but still,
right,
I'm on mission for Jesus. So every errand turns into the potential moment of casting a seed, or maybe even getting to water a seed that's already been planted by somebody else, or get to sort of take advantage of the harvest that God has already planted. So, I think that, and the cohort is, I think also one of the big things we talk a lot about for us in the cohort is, and also the way we train, we want to make it tangible. We want to make it practical. We want to make, give something that people can use. And so there's also that wanting to weekend, you know, week out, go and put into practice and then come back and go, okay, I tried this, and then, you know, get that feedback kind of like, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You tried that too. Cool. Okay. You know?
Yeah. You also felt weird when you did that. Yeah, for the
you
first
had
time.
That weird, like, conversation too.
Right? Good. It wasn't just me. Yeah.
Or even just the, hey, I tried, and it like bounced off like a steel wall, and like they ignored me and we moved on, and they're like, but you tried. Oh, right. That's all.
So, yeah. No, that's great. You know, a little bit of a, you know, side tangent plug there. Like, you know, you do have 20 years of pastoral ministry. Like, what?
Yeah.
Tell us about what that would have looked like to have taken the cohort, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, while you were still working in a church, while you were still like kind of a little bit of a plug for.
Yeah. I think, but, you know, I think, man, it would have been refreshingly simple, and here's what I mean. I feel like in the church world we naturally complicate, and I know me 5 years ago, well, maybe not 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, like sharing the gospel was like a 10-point sermon that I had to preach to somebody. And, you know, we needed to get them in our church, and they needed to do this, and this. And I think I would have found it refreshingly simple, because I have a tendency of wanting to overly complicate, yeah, or make things a multi-step process when it doesn't really have to be. So, and I think in doing so, it would have taken the weight off that,
yeah,
we feel. It would have taken a huge weight off our shoulders of having to feel like, okay, this is what this means. And be able to go, oh, this is far more natural than I realized, and simpler than I realized. And this is definitely something that could, first off, radically change the way I approach it, and then hopefully radically change the way we lead our church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's been interesting to watch the cohort roll out. And I think literally we might've had one before you joined the team, but right as you were joining the team is kind of as we were rolling this out, and the target audience really is church members. It's people, yeah, who are just ordinary Christians who want to have an impact in their community, but they don't know how. Mm-hmm. And so watching guys like you as a new team member, you know, former church pastor, but we've had several, you know, ministers, pastors, missionaries kind of go through this. I think that's kind of been the response across the board, whether they're a church member or whether they're, you know, a pastor in a church who's, you know, yeah, got a Bible college degree and like, quote, does this for a living. And like,
oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then like, oh, wait, like I'm making this way harder than it needed to be. And, yeah, you know, what if I just live that faith out in a more natural, honest kind of way? And so,
yeah. Well, and I also think that in the way that we approach, because of the fact that we're coming at it from a conversational standpoint too. Definitely me 6 years ago, 5 years ago, I was much more on the, it's gotta be a tool. It's gotta be a presentation tool. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause that's how evangelism works. You use some kind of the bridge, or use some kind of evangelism tool to sort of land the plane. And I love, I just love conversation in the sense of I love learning to listen to other people. And then be open to actual conversation. And instead of, here's my presentation, you believe it? No? Okay, I'm moving on. And I think that is key, because I think people want to know that you care. They want, like, you're just not just a notch on a belt. And I think you can go to one of those two extremes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in the church for years, we've harped on and taught relational evangelism, but what that's led to is a lot of people who have a lot of friends, but never have any conversations.
Right.
But they're not having spiritual conversations. Whereas the other side of it is you get these people you get the other side of, like, just gospel everything, you know, every time, and they don't have a lot of friends. But they're also not worried about friends, because they're just worried about getting the gospel out. And I think there's these two things go together. And I think for us, and I think the way in which we come at it, we're trying to sort of bring those two things together, so that you're having those relationships, you're encountering people, genuinely caring for people, but also being upfront about the truth of the scriptures and the truth about the gospel in a way that sort of melds these two things together. And it's not, you know, these two sort of extremes.
So a year later, what would you do differently? Like, you, I mean, you know, you've jumped in the deep end, so to speak. Faster, slower.
I'll tell you what, since I've come on, we've brought on another mobilizer, and then we have another member of our team who's switching
kind of focus
more.
Yeah.
And so the three of us have all had conversations. I've had conversation with both of them individually when they were coming on. And the advice that I found myself giving them, that I think, I kind of did it, but at the same time, I think I wasn't intentionally doing it, which is to lean, especially at the beginning, lean in to where you feel like where your comfort is. At the beginning, I think I was trying and really wrestling, trying to do too much, and really felt like I did have a lot of training.
Like trying to mobilize all the people.
Right. Right? Yeah. I did have a lot of trainings. I did have a lot of speaking opportunities, but I always felt disappointed because I didn't have enough college visits. I couldn't get these college visits in. And so I felt like, looking back on it, I felt like for me, I was just trying to be too everything. And then while I was doing things, I was just always feeling disappointed because I didn't feel like I was doing everything.
Right.
And one of the things I learned just through this process, and I've tried to encourage them, especially at the beginning, lean into it. So, like, one of our mobilizers, I think she is just really great about college kids. She loves college kids. Yeah. She does well. So my encouragement to her was lean into that.
Yeah.
Lean into that for a little while, at least. And you can feel good about when you go home at night and put your head on the bed. Like, I leaned into that, and that's where I feel good. And the trust that that God will open doors, and that it's not that you ignore these other church parts of it or some of the other cohort part of it. It's just that, especially in the beginning, lean into those things that our new one, you know, he's been a mission catalyst for a while. He's been on the mission field. He has this experience that's unique to me and the other one. So I said, damn, lean into that. You know, lean into that area. What does that look like for you? And then, you know, again, we can still reach out to churches. We can still try to get these other things. But for you, lean into that kind of thing where you feel like, man, I can get this gun. And so that would be, you know, I would say to me a year ago, you're leaning into these church trainings and these speaking of these churches, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay that that's getting started. Just relax. be patient. You don't have to get all of it done in the first year. Like, this is a multi-year sort of situation where, you know, you're going to have to cultivate these things. You know,
well,
5 years from now, it's going to look different because college, you're going to have more college campuses 5 years from now because you've taken the time to cultivate this.
Yeah. And the disadvantage you had when you started was you were the only one.
Right.
So if nobody, if you're not reaching college students, who is, right?
Right. Like,
and then I think the disadvantage that, you know, and I haven't had long conversations with Adam about this yet, but with Emily here in Orlando, we talk pretty regularly. And like the disadvantage she has is comparing herself to you. It's like, well, Joey was at this church and Joey did this training. And like, and yeah, it's funny because we've had the same conversations is, you know, but you're going to be amazing in this other area in a way that Joey maybe never is.
Yeah.
Or maybe just isn't yet. But like, but yeah, like,
well, and the thing I've tried to say to her, I was telling Adam this the other day, right now, when you look at him and me and Emily at our other mobilizer, the funny thing about it is each one of us are uniquely gifted at one of the three areas that we're doing mobilization.
Yeah.
Like that's just our, I think, you know, Adam, I think he could do the cohort. Like he could really, I think he could not just push the cohort, but we've talked about using incubation groups with him and, you know, and taking some of these cohort people or running, you know, that sort of like because he's been on the field, he knows how to do it firsthand and to have that firsthand experience. You know, Emily's got the college ministry and the student part of it, you know, that's her giftedness. And then I feel more comfortable at the church. Like, yes, we all three want to see all three done, but at the same time, we're all uniquely gifted in one of those three areas. So like we're winning. Like the organization is winning.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, Jared and I have talked about this. Like we're excited. We don't know what it looks like because I mean, again, it's a year. Like we've only had a mobilizer for a year and now we have three. And so we don't know what that looks like as it plays out. If it's, you know, if it becomes an intentional play or if it's just the way it plays out. But like we really do have some solid strengths amongst the three of you. And that wasn't on purpose. We didn't like, oh, we should recruit somebody who will fit this role now. It's just, I do think it's funny though, because, and again, it's a year. So we're kind of figuring this out as we go, as much as you're figuring out as you go, like we on the other side are figuring out what that looks like. And, but I do think it is kind of funny because if you were a mission catalyst in the discipleship and evangelism kind of sense of our mission catalyst role, you know, man, if God kept opening doors, you know, for Puerto Ricans, for you to like have ministry with Puerto Ricans, like we would go, well, Joey, that just might be your deal.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think we quite knew to be looking for that. You definitely didn't know to be looking, but that really is kind of like, that's how ministry sometimes works is like, when God just keeps opening doors in this place, like, you know, now if we're not challenging ourselves, if we're looking around our neighborhood and like, you know, there's a ton of Chinese moving into our neighborhood, but we're just content to keep doing ministry with Puerto Ricans. Like, well, maybe we should stretch ourselves a little bit and maybe that's recruit a larger team, or maybe that's, you know, figure out an inroad with, you know, the Chinese families that are moving in across the street, you know? And so, Joey, stretch yourself, get out there into those colleges. But like, if it's not working, that's not failure. That's just like, maybe God's got something different for you than what we thought that was going to look like. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the things I was actually preaching at this church, not last past Sunday, but the Sunday before. And I was talking to them about, you know, Luke 10:2 and the harvest. I said, you know, sometimes the harvest isn't what we expect, you know? And so, if we're willing to walk faithfully and follow the Holy Spirit, we may, you know, if you think about Paul going I was talking about Acts 16, Paul goes into Philemon not Philemon, Philippi, and he goes there expecting to find a place of prayer, but instead he finds Lydia, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't walk away. He doesn't say, well, this isn't what I was expecting. No, he stops, right? And so he accepts what the harvest has presented him, and Lydia and her household come to faith, and more things happen. And so it's the same thing, like our, whether you're a missionary, whether you are a pastor, whether you're just an individual in the church, we want to live our life in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Where is God leading? Where is God? And it, and sometimes, yeah, like I would prefer it to look this way. But as you said, if there's a door, if there's a stream that's working, then that's the, you know, I'll go where the Holy Spirit leads. That's where I want to be, you know, because wherever he is leading is going to be better than me trying to force a door open, period.
Yeah. So we know we've got some pastors, some college students, some, you know, just a diversity of people who listen to the podcast. A year ago, you jumped on the team. Year and a half ago, almost two, but about a year and a half ago, like we had that first conversation about like what would it look like being on the team. What would you say to those people, like, you know, the people that God is kind of nudging maybe, or maybe, you know, hitting hard, trying to get their attention? What would you say to them as they're debating what that could look like?
Well, I would tell anybody, like, it's worth a conversation, right? And this is the thing that I think for me that was it. It was like, I just want to, let's have a conversation about things. Just because, you know, I talked to Jared, or just because I talked to a mobilizer, just because I talked to you, like, I'm not committing myself. I'm trying to get information.
Yeah.
And I would say to you, if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know, maybe this is something I should be interested in, like, just go have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. Call us up, text us up, you know, send us an email. Let's get on Zoom. Let's get in person, whatever it is. But let's just have a conversation. Like, because you're not going to know anything just sitting there going, well, I wish.
Right.
Yeah. Let's have a conversation. And full disclosure, whether you at the end of that conversation say GCMI is my place or not, that's fine. Like, we're not offended. Like, there's no offense there. Have that conversation, gain information, because God may have something in that conversation that you need to hear, whether that's positive or I don't know what.
Yeah.
So get out there and have that conversation, get the information, ask your questions. Don't be afraid to have multiple conversations. Like, I'm one of those that, like, I get done and I'm like, darn it, I should ask this question. Not a problem. Let's have it again.
Yeah.
And that would be number one. And number two, I think a lot of, especially if you're thinking about in a missionary or catalyst perspective, the financial side of it is definitely a heavy lift. But, you know, for me, honestly, that for me, what helped get over that hurdle for me, honestly, was my wife looking at me, the one I was expecting to be like, nope, but my wife saying, God's true to his word. He says, if we seek his kingdom, his righteousness, he provides what we need. So, you know, go seek his kingdom and what's right for him, and he'll take care of that stuff. And I was like, okay. All right. So, I mean, I would definitely, you know, obviously that's going to be a concern for some people, but I think that through prayer, I think, you know, God takes care of that stuff. I just don't think you need to stress yourself out too much about it. It's easier said than done, I realize, but the big thing I would say to somebody is let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Don't be afraid to talk. You're not committing yourself to anything by having a conversation.
No, that's great. And we're definitely the guys who like to talk, and are, especially if there's coffee involved.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you want to buy some coffee?
Yeah.
I'll be there all day.
Yeah. No, that's great, Joey. It's funny to just kind of think back over the last decade or so of of us doing ministry together, yeah. you know, and, you know, bumping into each other places and on Facebook and whatever. And then, you know, what started as just, you know, some conversation about what God was up to
yeah.
in this crazy new role I had. And, you know, and then kind of what felt like out of the blue, it felt like, you know, it felt like a hard left from my perspective. I don't know if it felt like that to you, but we posted that position about, you know, a mobilizing role and, you know, and at the time, a part-time, you know, like, cause you were considering part-time, we were considering like, who would want to do this full-time? And then, all of a sudden here we are, you know, it's been exciting to watch. It's exciting to see what God's doing with the team as he adds Adam and Emily. And we still don't fully know what your job description looks like or no. where exactly the bounds of that are and what are we trying, but we know that God is mobilizing more than just, you know, college students into full-time ministry. God is mobilizing right. a lot of people into a lot of unique roles. And yeah. that's, you know, putting people into cohort, that's putting churches into training. We've got a training coming up in October in Huntsville. And I know you've got some people you're talking to that we should have some more trainings around the South, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's all of the above, and it's exciting to see you in that role and see what God's doing with our team. So,
well, and you know, the uniqueness of our team, especially for the pastor out there who's listening, the uniqueness of our team is that we do have people who've been in your shoes. Mm. And then we also have people who've not been in your shoes, but who have a perspective that you need to probably hear.
Yeah.
And so it's good to have that, you know, so the uniqueness of our team for those people out there that are like, well, what should I do? Well, we've got people who've experienced all kinds of different roles in the church and outside of the church. And so, you know, we probably have somebody who can be like, yep, I've been there. I've been there.
Yeah.
Who can kind of walk with you and have that conversation. So for sure.
Any other thoughts, any other reflections on a year with GCMI?
No, I mean, it is crazy to think it's been a year and a year and a half. It's kind of wild, to think about it happening, but it's been exciting. It's been fun. So I look forward to serving. I look forward to seeing where God leads, the ministry. I'm excited to be a part of that. And I'm excited to, also, you know, we joke about like, we don't know what my job is. But like what does that role continue to evolve and look like, you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. So.
No, the joke is we don't know what the job description is, but the reality is just because we really do have big dreams for where God is working and mobilizing you get to do a little bit of all of it. And
man, I do.
That's exciting. So
I do.
Well, we'll go ahead and sign off there. Thank you for sharing your story and this. And
thank you everybody for listening. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. These different episodes. So really appreciate it.
Yeah. So definitely make sure you're subscribed.
Definitely
catch up with us again next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye.